course of discussing movies, the host will spoil plots. You've been warned. Listen to their screams.
Greetings, ghouls and creeps, and welcome to Listen to Their Screams, a horror podcast that feels like you're chatting with friends. I'm one of your friends, Dave, joined as always by our other friend, Ike. Ike, how are you?
Hey, you can't complain too much. You know how it is, living the dream, living the spooky dream, hopefully.
Yeah, we got some spooky stuff to talk about today, including a review of the public domain horror movie, I Heart Willie, of course, based on Steamboat Willie, the Mickey Mouse short. We will talk about that later in the show. Before we get there, Ike, did you watch anything else this week?
Oh, let's see. Well, we restarted a watch of the MGM Amazon show. It's called From, which weirdly enough, like, I'll never understand all these like weird subscriptions and like Amazon's got like MGM extensions and this, that, and the other. But anyways, we start rewatching that. We watched the first two seasons, so we're restarting the first season just to get caught back up on it, and then the third season recently just finished, so we're hoping to get that rolling. We heard it's pretty good. Outside of that, I haven't done a whole lot. I've been pretty busy. I recently got a new cat named Oni, which is Japanese for like a demon. So let's hope that the name is not indicative of her behavior as she lays on my chest currently.
Well, let's see. I actually did watch a couple things. I watched from 2011. I watched the movie The Tunnel on Shudder. It was pretty good. Kind of a found footage. It was pretty creepy. I watched on YouTube a short called Portrait of God from 2023. It was okay. It wasn't very long. It was a little trippy, but it was all right. I liked it. And then I did watch the recently released on Screenbox Cannibal Comedian, which was it was something. It was pretty good. It was funny, and it wasn't really, I don't know, I wouldn't say there's any like spooky or creepy to it. There was some blood and stuff, but it was a fun watch. Definitely very comedic, living up to that part of it. I thought it was a creative approach to it. I didn't know how they were going to pull it off without being hokey. I think there was some intentional tongue-in-cheek hokiness to it, but overall, it was. I thought it was fun. It was, again, it's one of those things where I'm thankful for the streaming services where we can get movies like that that may not have seen the light of day otherwise. But it was a fun watch. So,
yeah, absolutely. I meant to actually watch that. I normally what I use to watch my stuff like while I'm working, I have a Fire tablet, and there's not a Screenbox app for the Fire tablet, and my phone's been acting up, so I was like, okay, let me try and get on the tablet, and like I tried to watch it like on the website. You can't actually use the Screenbox website to watch movies on it like a mobile device, so you have to download the app. And I even went as far to like download like a like the APK file, like the application file for Screenbox, and like download it like through a backdoor. Still couldn't get it to work, so I didn't get to watch Cannibal Comedian. So I'll have to, because I normally watch Screenbox on my phone because I have the app on my iPhone. But it was phone's been acting up. So anywho, I'll have to check it out.
It is pretty fun. When I have a movie on in the background while working, I actually have a quote unquote second monitor on my desk, which is just a small TV pretty much, or I mean it is, and I do use it for work. Sometimes I do need a second monitor, and I do use it for that. But sometimes when I'm not, it is my TV that I have something on in the background while I work.
There you go. So,
that's
I need
right.
to get me one of them.
That's right. It's very convenient. It was no lie. I pressed Monica. Hey, I need a second monitor. Sometimes I have, and it's no lie. Sometimes I do very much need a second monitor for work. But to be true, more often than not, no. It's more often than not, it's for viewing pleasure. So, and that's okay. So, let's move on to our first segment.
Order up.
Here's one house special cheesy slasher. Enjoy.
And it is time for our cheesy slasher of the week. This is a segment where we give you a cheesy, corny, low budget, whatever, goofy horror movie from the past that we present to you to watch. And kind of keeping a little bit with the public domain horror movie type, although this is not really public domain. It was licensed by them. They went through all the channels and stuff to do this. It's not like this is out there in public domain, but I present to you the Banana Splits movie, which has kind of got a little bit of a cult following that I have seen. It is based on the Hanna-Barbera show from 1968 to 1970. And it is described as young Harley is having a dream birthday. He and his family are going to watch the taping of his favorite show, but the dream becomes a nightmare when the animatronic stars turn homicidal. It was written by Jed Hilenoff and Scott Thomas, directed by Danishka Esterhazy, starring Danny King, Finley Wojtak, Hissong, and others. And the movie is available to purchase or rent on video on demand. Yeah, this was Banana Splits was a show that was out, like I said, in 68 to 70. There were some replays on it. It was basically people in costumes playing this band called the Banana Splits, which were a bunch of animal character type characters. And the show they did, there was wrap rounds. They did the wrap rounds, which kind of had either, there were either other live segments, live action segments with them, or animated segments also on the show. And they adapted that into a movie. Not what you, one of those, it was one of those first cases. I've not seen the movie yet, but it's one of those first cases that they did something that I remember thinking and people saying, wow, they took that and made a horror movie out of it. What's kind of deal, like, which now they're doing with all kinds of stuff. So,
right.
But a lot of people have said it's good fun. So I will have to, I don't have a lot of nostalgic memories of Banana Splits because it's, again, primarily was before my time, but I do love Hanna-Barbera stuff, lots of Hanna-Barbera stuff. So I'll have to give it a watch sometime and see what it's like, see if it's any fun. But it kind of fits in just a little bit. One of those first instances that like I said, that I remember them taking a property that is not horror related, doing something horror with it. And, people kind of saying, huh, okay. But now it just seems to be a commonplace.
Right.
So, all right, let's move on to the next segment. Talk to us, internet. And it's time for Talk to Us, Internet. This is where we either respond to listener feedback or just discuss a topic of some fashion that we have picked up on social media. And this is one that I saw a post about someone saying, ignoring the current copyright status of the property, what character or movie or franchise or whatever would we like to see adapted as a horror movie? So much in this vein of the public domain stuff and the characters getting made into horror movies that one might not suspect. We'll ignore, like I said, any copyright status. We won't worry about if they're public domain or not, or when they'll be public domain, or if they'll be public domain. Just this is purely just fantasy. What character, movie, franchise, or whatever would you like to see adapted as a horror movie?
Oh, that's a good question. When you sent me the notes and I saw that, I've been racking my brain about it. And I mean, there's a lot of public domain or non-public domain or just hypothetical like properties that I would like to be seen turned into something like that. Primarily, just off the top of my head, I think like a Batman movie. Like taking the Batman character, but specifically making it like a horror movie. I mean, you know, for instance, I was going to say Superman as well, but we kind of got that with Brightburn. But obviously there was little to no follow-up on that because the people who made Brightburn, I think there are some issues and they just stopped making, because they were going to make like a whole universe of like evil heroes type things. But I would like to see like a Batman horror movie where like Batman's just like a serial killer who like primarily kills like bad guys, but like maybe if you get in his way, he'll kill you too type thing. There's a lot of comic books that I would like to see turned into that, but Batman specifically, maybe a Superman variant type thing, kind of like Brightburn was. Other than that, I was thinking like, outside of like comic books and horror movies, I'm also a huge fan of anime, and I don't know how like I don't know how like copyright works over in like Japan and a lot of these Asian countries that make the anime and manga. So I can't speak to whether or not that'll ever happen, but like a Dragon Ball Z horror movie would be kind of cool. I mean, it's literally a story about an alien who comes to Earth after the destruction of his planet, all of Superman, and he becomes a benevolent protector because of how he was raised. So, could be a little bit of a different story there, but I'm there's plenty I could go on, but those are just a few I thought of.
Yeah, when I thought that I gave it some thought, and I have two that I think stand out to me that I would really like to see. I would really think it would be cool, and I think it would be completely feasible and possible to do a horror movie within the Star Wars universe,
Oh, yeah.
of some capacity, right? It obviously doesn't have to be the primary characters, it could be a side story, but whatever, with all the creatures, all the characters, just taking. You could just take some of the terror and things that are, it's kind of already there and just really, push it through the roof and really go all out with it. I think that would be cool. The only thing probably holding that back is the fact that Star Wars is typically intended to be more all ages. So they would probably be a little hesitant to go that far with it. But I have a very interesting one that I think would absolutely work in the vein of some of these public domain type movies that are made now in that same kind of fashion in a way. And it is based on my favorite video game and video game franchise, and just property all around, Pac-Man. Because number one, it's already got ghosts in it, right? So you could give a little explanation about the ghosts, why they're ghosts. Pac-Man could be some kind of mutated dude. Right. And I mean, in his original in Japan, he was called Puckman. And so, they could play on that, whatever. It was just, I think you could be really creative. The power pellets could be something man-made, toxic, that's causing things. I don't know. And I really think that the right creative mind could do something kind of fun there. And I would be intrigued, right? I mean, Pac-Man does all sorts of crap, right? There's been several cartoons, there's been whatever. There's been, appearances of the movie Pixels. There's been everything for Pac-Man. So, hey, why not a horror movie? I think it would work.
I
So,
can see it. I can definitely see that.
it, yeah, it would be fun. It'd be an avenue I don't think they've ever explored, to my knowledge. So, but, and hell, it could even turn into a pretty cool ass new take on it for a video game. They could totally go into a completely different realm and type of video game than they've ever done before with something like this. So, all
I'll check.
right. What's up?
You what you were saying, like you said video games, and it got me thinking, make a Qbert horror movie. Like the little guy that jumps around on the squares.
Oh,
That
you were, yeah.
could be, I just kind of compare that to like Pac-Man or is there a Pong, can we make a Pong horror movie? That might be a little bit of a stretch, but I'd like to see somebody try.
It's kind of basically like a weird ass tennis video game. I don't know.
Right.
Qbert was a fun game, but the little dude did kind of creep me out a little bit. And
He's a little weird looking, a little
he
monstrous.
is. Yeah, they did make a Qbert cartoon for a while, but pretty much in the 80s, they made damn near every video game that was really super big had a cartoon. I'm a huge fan of the 80s Pac-Man cartoon. It's great. That is my prototypical. I love that Pac-Man and Miss Pac-Man, which he calls Pepper. Her name's Pepper Pac-Man, I guess. I don't know. And there's a baby Pac-Man, and I just love that cartoon. But I think you could take almost any of those, right? Frogger, dude, come on. I mean, I'd be the guy rooting for the frogs to get ran over, though.
Right, I was gonna say.
But or hell, what if They could Nintendo could totally take Mario and do a horror movie, with a Mario or Donkey Kong or any of them. I mean, even with the movie. I mean, Bowser was a little scary in that movie, in the movie. And dude, I mean, Bowser would make a great horror villain if you really just amped him up a little.
Oh,
So
absolutely. I mean, he's literally a fire-breathing lizard. Like,
that's right. You could
not
just
much of a stretch.
make him a little creepier, maybe lean into that obsession with Princess Peach a little more, and you could really get some, you get some weird shit there.
Oh, absolutely.
But
It's
yeah,
already
I
weird as
think
it
it is. I think a lot of video games could work, for doing things like that. So, but it's fun. I mean, I think the right minds could take damn near anything, I think, and make a horror movie out of it. And I know some people will hate it much as they do the public domain horror movies, which, you know what? We haven't had a wives rebuttal in forever. We're gonna have to have the wives on and discuss public domain horror because Monica absolutely hates them.
Yeah,
Hates them with a passion. Hates them. Hates the concept of them. Hates everything about them. Won't, she would never even give them a watch because she absolutely despises the concept of them.
right. The mere basis of it,
Yes.
I guess I understand that to some degree, but at the same token, like it's not that deep. But Kayla's a little bit different. She likes the public domain horror movies. Like, she liked the Winnie the Pooh Blood and Honey. But she's even said that she didn't really grow up with Winnie the Pooh per se. So it's not like something that, is destroying her perception of it or anything.
Dude, I thought everybody had Winnie the Pooh in their life in some fashion at some point. It's been around forever, and every how many times has Winnie the Pooh been redone and remade? And see, that's always my thing. Okay, we'll table this for a wise rebuttal discussion because I have opinions on this, right? It's, I mean, everybody knows I love the public domain, but it does not affect or impact my love of the any other aspects of these of the franchises.
Right.
I guess I can compartmentalize these different things that they're different. They're different world, different takes, different. I don't know. We'll save that for it because I think that'd be a fun wiser battle. And it's been a long time since we've had one. So and it might just be Monica on her side, but she feels so strongly about it. I think she could she'll really come out swinging. So
I think so, as she normally does.
she always does, yes. All right. Let's get on into the next segment.
Stump the co-host.
All right, it is time for Stump the Co-host. This is our horror trivia game that we do once a month now this year. And so far, Ike is the two-time defending champion, and he currently has a 2-0 lead in 2025. This is where Ike and I have identical horror trivia decks. We each pull two cards, which is a total of four questions. And we alternate answering questions until we have a winner. If no winner is determined in the four questions, then we continue on until a winner is decided. No more draws in this. It's a fight to the death, which I hope not, because otherwise I would have died twice over already. So, all right, Ike, are you ready to play Stump the Co-host?
I believe so.
I will start with you. Here is your first question. What iconic horror movie actor appeared in the opening sequence of the 2006 film Hatchet?
Oh, Lord, excuse me. All right. What horror movie legend in the movie Hatchet? I'm trying to think of who appeared in the beginning, and that was like pretty much it. I think I have a guess. Is it Tony Todd?
It is not. It is Robert Englund. Tony
That
Todd's like more through the movies all
would
together.
have.
He's not just me.
Okay.
He plays
Gotcha.
a character in it. So, all right. Woohoo, you missed one. Let's see if I can capitalize.
All right. What actress played the heroine Helen Lyle in the 1992 film Candyman?
Jesus. I don't know. I don't know why I cannot remember who played. It's been a while since I've seen the original Candyman, and I don't know. I don't remember who played the heroine, the lady.
All right, it is Virginia Madsen.
Yeah, what? That's probably why I didn't remember. I don't. Well, so far I couldn't capitalize. Let's see what happens now. What is the name of the main character in Pitch Black who has surgically modified eyes that allow him to see in the dark?
Oh man. So I know it's Vin Diesel. I know that's the guy who plays him.
It's the character.
Yeah, it's the character. I'm gonna be real with you. I've never seen Pitch Black. But I know that like the later movies, I think the entire series is called like the Chronicles of Riddick. So I'm gonna guess that the guy's name is Riddick.
It is Richard B. Riddick. Yes, we'll go ahead and give that to you. Yes, that is his last name. So,
Okay. I was gonna say I've never seen Pitch Black or any of the other movies for that matter, so
yeah, me neither. I'm not a big Vin Diesel guy.
he's
He's
all
not.
right. He's a pretty mediocre actor in my
Kind of.
opinion, no offense, but
He kind of rubs me the wrong. I don't know. There's something about him. But alas, all right. Go
bring
ahead
your
and bring on my
question
second
two.
question. Yeah.
All right. What 1971 film features a group of killer rats that are led by a man seeking revenge on those who have wronged him?
Is that Willard?
It sure is. It is, in fact, Willard.
Hells yeah.
Never
Which
even
I think
heard of that.
they remade later with Crispin. I think Crispin Glover, I think, did it. They remade it later. So,
I'll have to check
all
that out.
right. Who hosted the original Twilight Zone TV series?
Oh my God.
Why can't I get questions like that?
Yeah, that was before my time. I've seen the original Twilight Zone, and like I feel like I have a name like on the tip of my tongue. Like G or it's like is it's an R name. It's not Robert. Is it Rod? I don't know his last name. I know it's Rod, but I don't know his last name.
It is Rod Serling.
Serling. I was gonna say Sterling. What's that that comedy sketch where the guy keeps getting hit in the head with a ball? Scott Sterling. Have you ever
Oh
seen that?
I'm like, what are you talking about? Yeah, I do remember that now.
Yeah, but
All
no. Okay,
right.
I didn't get that one. So you
I
ready for
got a
your?
shot. You'll definitely
You
get the
do.
fourth one, so I gotta at least get one of the two. But if I can get both of them, I could win. So, all right, go ahead.
All right. What 2010 psychological horror film contains a son that astral projected into a realm called The Further?
Damn it. This is not my prime period for horror. A son the astral projected. A son like SON, right? Like a.
Yeah,
Okay.
like a father son.
Projected in the further. God damn it. I know I'm going to. I'm probably going to know this when I
You
hear the name.
absolutely do know this movie.
Fudge.
You even like these movies.
Fudge. Well, how can I not remember them? Projected in 2010. Well, oh, wait a minute. It is, I am going to say it is Insidious.
It sure is. It is
Damn.
insidious.
Yes. The only reason I got it is because you said these movies. I thought, oh, it's a franchise.
Yes.
And then but then I was thinking more of the newer ones where he's like in that, and I'm like, is that called The Further? That other point, and then I'm sitting there thinking, which one is it? Is the original one just called Insidious? It's like, woo, pulled that one out of my fucking ass. All
Oh man.
right, this is a gimme question.
Okay.
Robert Englund portrayed Freddy Krueger in what horror movie franchise?
Is it Friday the 13th? No, Nightmare on Elm Street.
Yes. Okay, we are tied 2-2. So we at the very least we'll go to sudden or what, not sudden death, but overtime. But I can win this round if I can get this question right. Here we go.
Ready?
Not
All
really, but
right.
I'll do it anyway.
Okay. Where are the phone calls coming from in the movie When a Stranger Calls?
Oh, from in the house.
That is correct.
Fuck yeah, I got one on a movie I actually know.
I was gonna say that one's a pretty easy one. Even if you've never
Yeah,
seen that movie, like
you could guess that.
it's like the classic, the call's coming from inside the
Yeah.
house.
Yeah. Holy shit, I just won one. I don't even know what to do. I don't know how to react. How does one celebrate? I don't know. So I guess we'll start by just taking a break so that I can wipe away the tears of joy. And I don't know. So we'll take a break though, and then when we come back, we'll have news, birthdays, anniversaries, all that stuff. So stick around.
Make sure you subscribe to listen to their screams on your favorite podcast platform. Also, make sure you look us up on social media. We're on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, Letterboxd, TikTok, and Slasher. All you have to do is look up Listen to Screams, that is Listen, the number two in Screams, and you can find us there. Also, make sure you go and buy yourself a Listen to Their Screams t-shirt. You can find all of our shirts at tinyurl.com/screamsshirts.
Spread the news. Spread the news. Spread the news.
And welcome back to the news. Our first piece of news is that Dave has finally won Stump the Co-host. I'm just kidding.
That is news.
That is news. So it's a 2-0 or 2-1 for 2025. We'll see.
All right.
We'll see what happens next month.
I don't even know the last time I won one. I think, you know, I was pulling out some draws here and there, but I don't know. That's woo.
Well, the good thing is we can no longer draw, so we have to.
Right.
Somebody has
Right.
to be win. It's like Highlander.
Right.
There can only be one.
All right,
Yeah.
let's go.
All
News
right.
time.
News time. So, speaking of public domain horror, we have a trailer being released for the Pooniverse movie. You heard that right? Pooniverse? Bambi: The Reckoning. The movie is scheduled to release later this year. I have seen the teaser for this. I've not seen like the actual trailer. I remember there was a teaser a while back that kind of just showcased like a little scene from the movie. But I'm definitely exciting of you know I'm excited for all these movies. You know, specifically Pooniverse. You know what I mean? Like, come on, that's such a gold name. It's a gold standard for horror movie names.
It is, and I did watch the trailer. It's pretty good, right? But Bambi, dude, Bambi looks scary. Or Bambi looks freaky, and I could be wrong, because I only watched the trailer once, kind of in passing. But it looks like maybe this opening scene of the trailer is from the not a scene, but a setting in Blood and Honey 2.
Okay.
Like the camper thing or whatever, remember? There was like, wasn't there a
Yeah.
camper? It looks like there were some people walking around, like searching with some flashlights looking, and it looked like that it was that. It was the camper around that area. So I hope, right, that this ties. I know they're all in the same universe, but I hope that they tie it in just directly like that. And if so, it will be pretty cool then, because that kind of implies, at least in my mind, that this takes place immediately after Blood and Honey 2.
Right.
So that's pretty cool. I do know that at some point they're going to be doing like a team up type movie or whatever you want to call it, with all of the. I'm telling you, it's pure gold. And that's going to be wild. It's going to be like just fucking Disneyland on acid. It's just going to be crazy. So, but yeah, I'm looking forward to Bambi the Reckoning, because I truly think it'll work well on one of those creature type horror movies.
Absolutely. And it's not to mention it's they're kind of playing up on the whole like team up movies, you know, like the Avengers, 'cause I'm pretty sure the poster they made looks
Yeah.
very similar to like the Infinity War poster.
So funny. So
I
funny.
love it. But speaking of the Pooniverse, Popeye the Slayer Man will be available video on demand on March 21st. I love the Popeye the Slayer Man. It sounds like Doom Slayer or something like that. He's gonna start slaying demons. But no, I think he's going to be slaying fellow humans. So, but yeah, I'm obviously very excited for this. This is peak media right here.
I'm talking because I love Popeye. I love the Popeye comic strip. I love the Popeye cartoon. I even love the Popeye movie with Robin Williams. I love it. This works. I have seen the trailer, or teaser or whatever it was. I don't know if it's a full trailer, but it, man, I'm telling you, it's going to be great. You know, a dude that's kind of weird looking, squinty eyes, oversized forearms, gets weird power from canned spinach. Come on, it's already almost a little creepily horror a little bit if you start dissecting it. So, but yeah, I this one's gonna work for me because this, see, again, one of those deals where I love a franchise so much I can separate this out from the other stuff, you know, from the cartoon or from the comic strip or from whatever, and into its own thing and just love it as an extension of that world, and it's gonna work. It's gonna be fun for me.
Absolutely. I think it'll be great. And there's obviously a crap ton of other movies that are coming out, and not just the Pooniverse, but just in general. So we'll be very excited, and we'll continue to release news about all of that as it goes along. But absolutely, Popeye and Bambi the Reckoning will be our next two Pooniverse movies.
And there's also a well, I don't know if, yeah, I guess Papa is by the same people, but I don't know if it's within, I think. I don't know. I don't know if they're considering it within the Pooniverse. I don't know. Maybe. I guess.
Hopefully.
Yeah, I don't know. But I do, and I do know also though that Pinocchio Unstrung or whatever, it's something like that,
Yeah.
it's pretty soon too. So
So hopefully we'll have a bunch of movies coming out this year that are, the
yeah.
what is it called? Public domain. I always forget the words public domain. It always escapes me, but yeah.
And I believe
Good
they've
year
said
for
something
it.
about doing, I don't know, maybe a Cinderella one too down the road. I don't know. I mean, I think there's a plan for, I don't know what all they got, but I'm pretty sure that we're getting the Bambi, and then this Popeye thing, and then the Pinocchio. I don't know, sometime this year, definitely. So.
Very good. All right. Well, now we're going to move on to our obligatory Scream 7 news. Almost every week, it feels
Every
like
week, it's like someone else is coming back.
and this one just, I don't know. I was I mean, me and Dave were talking about this, behind the scenes, but David Arquette has been confirmed to return for Scream 7. So clearly, David Arquette's character, Dewey, he died. Very, very clearly died, and not the last movie, but the movie before last. So there's pretty much no chance that he's going to be still alive in this movie. So that means that it would have to be a flashback. And Dave and I kind of came to the consensus that like there's a lot of people that they're bringing back who would have to be either in the form of flashbacks or I don't know, like. Like not paranoia, like hallucinations or something. You know what I mean? So it's like either this whole movie is going to be flashbacks, or like somebody's tripping balls on acid and they just don't know where they are, and just seeing a bunch of stuff or something. I don't even know.
It's so weird. This is like the third big character that is quote unquote dead that's coming back. And man, I don't know. I don't know what they're doing. They must have some big idea to bring back, to implement like retro something into the past, right? Somehow. I don't know. I don't know how they're doing it. And but it's weird though, because how these guys don't look like they did when they were in the movie, though they're older. So it's like
Right.
how they, I don't know. I just don't. I guess I just
Well,
don't know. I mean,
I
I guess
know.
they can always somehow in cinema make, you know, you can always say, oh, they're not dead. We just faked you out to try to protect them. But for three people, I mean, it's like,
Right. I mean, and one of them is the guy who got shot in the head in the Scream 3. Like,
Yeah, Scott Foley, that.
yeah. But I mean, you could argue, yeah, okay. I mean, yeah, no, I mean, there's no way Dewey's alive. I mean, you can't
Why
fake
wouldn't
that
they?
out. I mean,
Yeah.
there are some like potential, like for instance, like Matthew Lillard's character. Yeah, I could see the argument that he's not dead. You know what I mean? We didn't see him explicitly die like we do with like Billy Loomis's character who got again shot in the head, or like you said, the Scott Foley's character who got shot in the head, or yeah, I mean, there's plenty of people who we saw very clearly die, and like Dewey's one of them. So I don't know. It has to be a flashback, or like you said, they're gonna have
Yeah.
to like do some like digital de-aging so that way these people don't look like they're in their, 60s.
Well, I mean, my initial thought was always before the David Arquette thing, was always that my gut always said that either Stu, Matthew Lillard would be revealed to, I don't think he'd be revealed to be the killer because since they've already announced him, but I do think there'll be a reveal that he is still alive. And my gut always said they're going to make it where Stu has been orchestrating everything from the get-go. He's had his finger involved in all of it to try to get to her, to Sydney. And then I thought when they announced Scott Foley, I thought, oh, yep, there's going to be a scene that's going to be set around that time period where it shows Stu and Scott, whatever his name was, the character's name, kind of working together, or Stu, whatever, Stu helping plan it or whatever, showing that he involved was involved in that, and but then I'm like, okay, what's the Arquette thing? Unless they're going to do a thing showing Stu had involvement in David, Dewey dying, that scene somehow, maybe that's the point, that he'll be involved. It's just the thing where they're going to show something about Dewey dying. I don't know. I still feel like Stu's going to be the puppet master. They're going to tie him into that, work him in and reveal that he has somehow behind the scenes been involved in pretty much all of it, in all of it from the first one. That he didn't really die, and that he has been orchestrating a lot of this, and now he's going to finally come out that he's still alive, and that, I don't, whatever. I don't know who the ghost face. There might be multiple. They have announced the twins coming back. Maybe they're going to be ghost faces. Maybe they'll be two of the killer. It's weird. But it's the David Arquette thing. Everybody's carrying on. I don't think this is going to be a major role. I just think it's going to be for a scene or two.
No, there's no way that he has a significant role in the movie just because of the fact that, again, his character is clearly dead. So I
And it
think,
wouldn't make sense. It would
no.
be, so I think my gut says it's going to be something around his death and just revealing that Stu had a hand in that, or Stu was hidden away there, in that hospital or wherever it was, or something, I don't know. That's just my gut. That's how they're tying all this in. But who knows? I mean, they've got everybody on board, so whatever they've come up with is must be creative and enough that they're all agreeing to do it. Most of these people, it's not necessarily they're in a money thing anymore. It's so if they don't like the project, I wouldn't think they'd all be coming on. I don't know. So, but I can't wait to see. I'm excited.
Me too. But all right. There we go. That is our again obligatory Scream
Scream 7,
news
Doc.
and our little jaunt into that. So we're going to move on to Heart Eyes is now available to rent or purchase video on demand. It will be released on physical media April the 15th. Heart Eyes definitely is a unique film where Dave and I did not 100% see it the same, but we generally enjoyed it, minor some flaws and whatnot. So, but yeah, it was a decent little flick, and it's worth a watch if you can catch it on streaming.
Yeah, you should definitely watch it. And then once you watch it, yeah, our reviews in the archive, give it a listen.
There you go. And we're
Well,
gonna move on.
this might be the most exciting of news for me.
Yes. I saw this the other day and I was reading the comments, which I'll talk about the comments in a second. But a teaser was released for friend of the show's Anthony Cousins' upcoming sequel, Frogman Returns. Man, Dave and I loved the first Frogman movie. We got to talk to Anthony. And it was just a fantastic, fantastic process to hear about and to learn about. And we both love this movie so much. But Dave, I'm not sure if you looked at the comments on like the Facebook post about this. People were
I did not.
dissing Frogman. They were saying that the first Frogman movie was mediocre. And I'm like, did we watch the same movie?
Just asshole trolls. They don't know any better.
But
Come on. We talked about it. It got to number one on Screambox or whatever and was there for a while. And
yep.
people were watching it. They were selling merch and everything. Come on. People love this movie. You know what? People are going to love and hate everything. I don't care. This movie was fun. It was great. I cannot wait for the sequel. And on top of this, I did reach out to Anthony and I asked him, dude, we saw it. Cool. Congratulations. Can you give us anything? Any details? Any blurbs? Expected release date, next actor, or is it too early? And he came back with, this is from him. He did not say I could not say this, that they're hoping the movie will be out sometime in 2026. But they're hoping to have it done in time to have it at festivals this fall.
Wow.
So there you have it. That is straight from creator director Anthony Cousins himself. It is expected for public consumption in 2026. However, it might do some screenings possibly at film festivals in fall 2025. So keep your eyes peeled and get to one of those. If I'm telling you, if they screen it anywhere near where I am in the fall and I can get there, I will go just to watch this movie.
Oh, absolutely. I would too. I would love to go to a horror film festival. I feel like
Me
that's
too.
just,
Me too.
you know, something that I've never been able to do, and I feel like that'd be a lot of fun.
Yes, sir. All
But
right.
wow. Well, hopefully we'll get to hear some more news about that in the near future. Maybe a preemptive release date at some point,
Did
but
you see the,
cool.
did you watch the teaser though?
I
I
didn't watch
assume.
the trailer. I saw the trailer, like the poster thing that they had for it.
Oh, yeah, you got to see the teaser. It's pretty fun. I don't want to say funny, but it's neat.
Right. We'll have to check it out. Honestly, I need to get Kayla to watch Frogman. I feel like she'd like it. I feel like it's unique enough that I feel like she would be cool with it. But anywho, we're gonna move on now to some upcoming birthdays. We have March 9th, 1986, Brittany Snow, known for her roles in X, Prom Night, as well as some other non-horror movies such as Pitch Perfect. You know, she was really good in X. I feel like, you know, she played a very, you know, obviously interesting role, but she did good. I think it was unique, and part of what made that movie so good was that they had a lot of really quality actors in that movie to really push along this very, again, unique and interesting story. So happy birthday to Brittany.
Yeah. I mean, she didn't have a lot of horror credits to her name, but X was a, I mean, that was a big one. And yeah, she was really, really good in it. I really liked it. You know, she's, I mean, she's good in everything though. You know, I'm not like a huge fan of the Pitch Perfect movies, but she was hilarious in them.
Yeah, absolutely. And like you said, it Pitch Perfect obviously is not everybody's cup of tea, but you know, it's a decent pop culture moment. You know, a lot of very interesting people came out of that movie. You know, Anna Kendrick and Adam something or the other. I can't remember what his name is.
He's
But
all over the place.
yeah, he does all kinds of stuff now. I don't know if he's ever done any horror movies, but you know, I'm pretty sure Anna Kendrick has been in a horror movie or two. But yeah, there's plenty of people who came out of that movie who just went on to have, you know, bigger careers and whatnot. So, Rebel Wilson. But anyhow, very cool. And for some reason, when I said "Happy Birthday, Britney," it made me think of that song. It's Britney, bitch. Anywho, moving on to some upcoming movie anniversaries: March 8th, 2024, Imaginary. It's just my imagination. That was a sort of a letdown. It was a good movie, but I was definitely expecting more out of it in retrospect. It was fun. It was just, I definitely expected much more out of it, so that's probably my fault for going into it with such high expectations. But I mean, we have a review in the archives. It received generally positive reviews, but I feel like it could have been so much more.
It was one of those movies that, for whatever reason, I saw the trailer and I saw the premise, and I hyped it in my head and I thought, oh, this is gonna be great. This is gonna be fun. This is gonna be, and then it's like I watched it and I was like, okay, it was just kind of blah. It wasn't what I hoped, but yeah, it was still okay, just not as spectacular as I'd hoped. So.
Absolutely. And I mean, honestly, I feel like it kind of released along the same time as like what was the water movie that came out? It was like
Yeah, that was right towards the beginning of the year last year. It was a what was it, deep
something
night
pool,
swim? Night
Night
swim?
Swim. Yeah.
Eesh, that oh again a movie that I thought, oh, that looks good, it's gonna be good and whatever else. Yikes. We were
Absolutely.
because I remember in 2023 we were so pumped about how the year started with like Megan and a couple others, and it's like, oh, this is you're starting off good, this is some good stuff. And then we saw 2024 and some of these early movies were, oh, well, this might do good. Yeah. And like it, 2024 took a while to really get going, I think.
Yeah, to pick up steam, that's for sure. But well, fingers crossed, 2025 has been pretty decent so far. We got some pretty good stuff coming down the pipeline in the next, few months, so we'll see how that goes.
Yeah, it's weird that it's like a 2025, though. It doesn't have like any of the quote unquote blockbuster type movies
No, not really.
like that we've had the last couple of years. We've had, Screams and Saws and Terrifiers, and we don't have, it's like we don't have any of those that you just anticipate will be super. So I'm not saying there won't be good movies. I'm not saying that, but it might make for a very intriguing top five at the end of this year. We may have to give it extra thought because we've had some default number ones, I think, the past, couple of years where we pretty much knew, and I don't know, it might be wide open this year.
I was gonna say they're to right now at least. I mean, there's a couple of like really good movies that like to me are probably gonna make it be in my top five, but like there's none that at least up to this point have stuck out so much that I'm like, holy crap, like this is my number one. So I'm hoping that as we go along, we'll find those, really standout pictures, and but we'll see.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know. I don't know if there's any play. I mean, is there no big franchise type movies, are there, that I can think of? Or, I mean, there might be.
I think Five Nights at Freddy's has a movie coming out in October.
Yeah, but I meant,
Like
yeah, but longer,
existing franchises,
yeah,
yeah.
longer franchises. We've gotten, some a Saw movie, a Scream movie, a Terrifier movie in the past, franchises that have a few movies in. And I don't know. I mean, there could be. I could be completely forgetting something, but a little more
Yeah.
wide open for some sleeper hits.
That's what I'm hoping. The 2025 is the year of sleeper hits. But we'll see. But moving on to March 9th, 1984, Children of the Corn, of course, a Stephen King classic that generated a billion sequels. Ch Children of the Corn's is a fantastic movie, and like we said, it's a classic. It's one of those to me, that's one of those movies that should be like mandatory viewing once you've seen a few movies, then you go, okay, now it's time to step up and start watching these movies,
Yeah, I love Children of the Corn. Again, not a huge fan proponent of any of the sequels, really. I'm just not. I don't know. I none of them really. Whatever. The first one though is a great fucking creepy ass movie.
really is. Need to go back and watch that. I remember I watched it way back when that other Children of the Corn movie came out. That was just absolute dog shit. So
Yeah, was
I
it?
re
Was it a Bloodlines or something?
it might have
I don't remember
been.
because remember, like there was like two or three movies at the same time that had same rough time that had like Bloodlines. There was like Pet Sematary Bloodline or something, and then I don't maybe not, but I
Would
don't
not
know.
surprise me. I just looked it
Whatever
up.
the case may be, it was horrible.
It was not a very good movie.
No.
It It very much, I think, if I remember correctly, it was very obvious that it was like filmed during like the lockdowns. And like, because like there's a lot of movies that got really creative around that time and really tried to make like a decent movie, but it just felt like they just were like, yeah, well. But anywho, enough crapping on the remake. March 9th, 2018, The Strangers Pray at Night. I think we're supposed to get a sequel to the Strangers movie that came out last year, this
Oh,
year.
that's right. Actually, I think we're supposed to get two sequels, I think.
We're supposed to get two of them,
I
so.
think chapter two and chapter three. So, yeah, there is that, I guess.
So, that's somewhat of a release that we might get this year. We'll see how it goes. But Pray at Night was a decent little flick. Definitely a little bit of a departure from like the original Strangers. The original Strangers sort of pulls on the hopelessness of the situation because there's no real escape for them. I have a theory that these are all like all the killers from the Strangers movies are in the same universe. And that they're different killers. I think that's my theory currently, which would also make sense as to why some of them make it out and some of them don't. Some killers are more proficient than others.
That's right. I mean, look
So
at some of them have a lot of sequels, some of them don't have a lot. So.
exactly, that's right. Yeah, we'll see. We'll see if that comes to fruition. Probably not. So hopefully we get those two movies. But Pray at Night, decent little movie. Anyhow, moving on. We have one last little tidbit here for us. Speaking of Scream, Scream 6 was released March 10th, 2023. Review in the archives, but Dave and I generally liked Scream 6. I think we both agree that that was a pretty decent sequel considering some of the other films.
Yeah, and like we said, it was kind of a shame that they didn't get to kind of complete the trilogy of those, with Jenna Ortega and them. But we're getting Scream 7, which is looks more exciting. No offense to them, because I love them, but this one just is so much more exciting. And again, so weird because it's like after Scream 6, you just everything they're not long after, it just felt like everything fell apart.
Yeah.
And people were leaving, and we thought, well, hell, we may not even get a new Scream movie for a while now, because what are they going to do? And it's like, nope, they just totally just pivoted and said, take this, and signed up like everybody that's ever been in one of the movies. And it's weird. But I tell you, ever since we have, because I believe, did Scream 5 or whatever, I know it didn't have a 5.
Yeah.
Did we review that, or was that right prior to us review? I can't remember now. But
Scream. Yeah, I thought we did. I thought
I
we
think so
did.
too. But I feel like ever since we have started this podcast, Scream has again just been this unending thread of a saga through our news and everything else, because we've gotten two movies, a roller coaster of emotions and firings and hirings and leavings and whatnot. Now getting ready to have another movie. It's just, I feel like Scream is just overall has been the most talked about franchise for us. In the most, I don't know, prevalent in the news. And which is okay, because I love the Scream franchise. But it's just
No,
wild. It just feels like every time, like we said earlier, every time we turn around, there's more news.
yeah. Yeah, honestly, Scream has been one of those sort of like hit or miss too, because it's like sometimes they have good news, sometimes there's cool stuff happening, and sometimes they're like dropping bombs on us, like oh, the movie's not getting made, because there was that little period of time where. We basically we were under the impression we were not getting another Scream movie for a while.
Yeah, I just didn't know what they were, how they would do anything. It just.
Well, and it didn't help that they were also struggling with like they were losing cast members left and right. They lost Jenna Ortega, Melissa Barrera. I mean, they were losing cast members because of some internal politics. I won't get too much into that, but they were losing cast members, so they definitely left the concept of like, well, what's going to happen next? You know what I mean? Like, there was
Yeah.
really no, in my opinion, there was no path forward based on like where everyone was sitting at that time.
But
So,
remember, a lot of that started with with Scream 6 and not having Neve Campbell.
Yeah,
I mean,
absolutely.
there was even all that drama then. It's a, I don't know, it's just a wild franchise that, and it's just funny to me how long it's this franchise is, because this franchise has been consistent. There hasn't been, I mean, huge gaps where Scream's not been there, right? Even, I mean, even when there was a little bit of a gap in movies, they had that short-lived TV show. And
Yeah.
I mean, it seems like Scream is just always out there, kind of like what we've talked about with Child's Play, right? They stay prevalent in the public eye, and you know, some other franchises need to get their shit together and settle their damn disputes and shit. And because you have mega franchises that are just sitting there,
Yeah.
not doing anything, and it's, I want to see it for the content. I'm t but they're fucking just leaving money on the table. I mean, these are, I don't get a shit what you gonna, what you do. You do something with Nightmare on Elm Street or Friday the 13th, it's gonna make money.
Oh, absolutely.
I
I
mean,
was gonna say
you
that was specifically directed at the people that are taking care of Friday the 13th right now, since for some reason they're like having a fit about all this. I mean, like
yeah,
you
they,
said,
I mean, they can't
it's
sell their shit to do a new movie. And,
exactly.
you know, thankfully we're getting, still getting, you know, we're planning to get Crystal Lake, which is, that'll help. And but again, and it's what we've said, right? You know what? Some of these franchises that have already done whatever 10 movies or so or close to it, maybe it is time for, you know, they haven't done anything in a while. They do need maybe take a breath, refresh, settle their shit, and that we have said, hey, a series would be is a good way to bring it back, something different. I mean, something fresh. I mean, Child's Play has proven it'll work if you do it the right way.
Yeah.
And so I very much like the concept on Friday the 13th, you know, doing this. I hope they do it well. I hope it works, you know, but I, you know, I think you could do the same with Nightmare on Elm Street. I think you could do the same with the Halloween franchise as a kind of a reboot. I think you could do series, just short series. And I mean, it's working for, you know, I mean, it worked for Creep. I mean,
Yep.
it was just, if you do it right and creative, people like the short series. And my God, every platform out there is just dying for content. So
I was going to say we literally have two specifically horror platforms in the form of Shudder and Screambox, who are essentially an open book to all of these independent creators and everything else. Not to mention movies like Friday the 13th, Nightmare on Elm Street, and everything else. I mean, they don't have to go to Screambox and Shudder.
no,
They
they're
could very
gonna,
easily they'll cut a
yeah, they're
deal with
good.
Max or
Yeah.
Peacock or any of these other multi-billion-dollar companies. You
Yeah,
know what I
they're,
mean? So.
yeah, they already, they're gonna get on the big stuff, but I don't know. I just, I don't even know how we, oh, we got a screen, but okay, let's bring it back around.
Let's bring it back. Let's put the horse back in the carriage here. All right. Upcoming releases. So we got some cool stuff here. The Fetus, starring Lauren Rivera and Bill Moseley, is getting a limited theatrical release on March the 7th. So the day after you guys listen to this, it's starting its limited release. The movie is described as a couple struggle to learn the truth about the origins of their unborn child, a demonic entity that emerges from the body. Obviously, it's got Lauren Rivera in it. And it's called The Fetus. I'm gonna watch it. For better or for worse, that just sounds like a money movie right there. Love, love, love Lauren Rivera. And I remember that there was a little teaser of this that came out a while ago, and I remember I really enjoyed that. So I was like, yeah, we'll definitely have to check that out.
Yeah, it, I mean, yeah, it looks good. I gut says I won't probably be able to see it in a theater with a limited theatrical release, but you know, typically there's a quick turnaround on these type of movies with a limited release to get to video on demand. So yeah, look forward to that. And I venture to guess that depending on the timing when it hits video on demand, probably a good chance we'll review it.
Yeah, absolutely. As soon as I can watch it, as soon as you can watch it, it'll be watched. Let's just say that. We'll make sure to watch it. This is right up our alley, you know, and we'll always be a supporter of, you know, our Scream or not Scream, our Terrifier family. So, and anything they do. Which, speaking of, small side note, did you know that Elliot Fulham, the guy who, well, you know who he plays, he does
Musician.
music? Yeah, I
He's
didn't know that.
pretty good.
Yeah, he's pretty good. He makes some very interesting, like, more, like, I don't know, more softer alternative type music. So, Have to check it. If you haven't checked it out, people should check it out. I have checked it out recently. Anywho, moving on. Uncontained, love that, comes to Screambox on March 11th. The film is described as a mysterious drifter struggles to protect abandoned children from an infection that turns people into feral-like states. Sounds like a zombie-esque movie, so I will 100% watch that. I have a very deep love for zombie and zombie content, so anything even remotely in the same breath of being zombie is going to be up my alley for sure.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, sounds like another fun movie for Screambox, and yeah, I'm looking forward to seeing it.
Screambox just keeps winning, winning like Charlie Sheen. That's a 2000s meme.
Hopefully winning differently than Charlie Sheen, but
I'd hope so. A little less cocaine and
Tiger
stuff
Blood.
Like that. Right, Tiger Blood. Oh man. The 2000s were a wild time, early 2000s. Anywho, moving on. Breaking Glass Pictures will give us Butcher's Bluff on March 11th. The movie is described as when four college students set out to investigate the legend of the Hog Man for their film thesis. They expect to uncover little more than small town folklore, but as they dig deeper, they realize the brutal killer may be more than just a myth. We will be reviewing this on our next episode. I'm in. Hogman, give
yes.
it to me.
Yeah, this is apparently kind of an homage or a throwback to like 80s slashers, so I'm all about it. That is a great name, Hogman. I love it. And I did reach out to Breaking Glass Pictures, and hey, because in their original release it talked about it coming out but didn't say exactly how. And they said on streaming on multiple platforms, so I'm assuming it's a video on demand render by thing on some of those choices is where how it'll be out. Apparently on March 11th, that's what I take from that. So, but
right.
Yeah, I can't. I'm looking forward to watching it. And even the name Butcher's Blood, that just sounds great. I love it. But Hogman, I saw a picture from the poster and it looks great. But you just hear the name Hogman and you're already like, yeah, I need that action figure. It's like that sounds toyetic.
Absolutely. I mean, it's just Hogman, Frogman, Mothman. I mean, come on.
Uh-oh, I smell another team-up movie.
Right? Yeah. The team-up of Hogman, Frogman, and Mothman. Kind of rhymes, too. Oh, man. But very good. Can't wait to watch that. And you guys can get our official review next week. Moving on to our last little bit of news. The Toxic Avenger is finally getting released. I remember talking about the Toxic Avenger movie years at this point. So we'll see what happens. But the movie starring Elijah Wood, Kevin Bacon, and Peter Dinklage will hit theaters on August 29th. So very interested to see how that goes. I'll check it out. I've heard of the Toxic Avenger, and I'm pretty sure this kind of somewhat falls into like the melt category, doesn't it?
Yeah, it does. And Toxic Avenger, I love the original. There's a bunch of sequels too. I haven't seen hardly any of them. The sequels, but I love the first one. There was even a brief lived Toxic Avenger cartoon in like the 80s or 90s. But a trauma films thing. I think I'm guessing with this one, I don't think it's actually directly made by Trauma Films and Lloyd Kaufman, who's the head. He's a wacky ass dude. Follow him on social media. He's a wacky dude, but they created Toxic Avenger. But I don't think they've directly made this. But probably licensed it out with those kind of stars. But so if this is taking Toxic Avenger and giving it a bigger production backing. But it wasn't going to get released because they were saying that I don't it's too. Too disturbing, too gross. No one would ever want to watch it. It wasn't good. They didn't know what to rate it, this and that. And I'm like, dude, that's toxic. Toxic Avenger. That's what it is. It's melt horror. It's supposed to be gross. It's supposed to be. I mean, come on. And but somehow, I don't know. I don't. It, somehow, it's coming out, and I'm looking forward to it. I can't wait. It'll be fun.
Yeah, absolutely. We'll have to definitely check that out in August. So we'll get our melt on in August. Mm-hmm. So All right, that pretty much does it for our news, birthdays, upcoming anniversaries, and releases. What you're going to do now is you're going to go online, follow us on social media. As always, make sure you keep up to date with us. We like to talk about this stuff and put stuff out when things actually happen. So when we get news, we give it to you right away versus waiting until Thursdays for our podcast. So I hope that you're not ex relying on us exclusively for your horror news, but we're a good source typically. But yeah, so when we come back, we will go ahead and give you our official review of I Heart Willie. Stick around.
Hey, Bruiser buddies, I want you to listen to Wrestling Nostalgia with Dave Dynasty. Every week, he has the roughest and toughest interviews in the podcast world today, with the best guests you could ask for. There's no bums on this show. Let Dave Dynasty be your podcasting tag team partner and listen to Wrestling Nostalgia while drinking beer, smoking cigars, and busting heads. Just look it up on your favorite podcast platform and subscribe today, because the Bruiser said so.
Hey ho, everybody. Subscribe to the Pinhead Pod, the Ramones fan podcast, bringing you interviews, news, deep dives, and much more. Look it up on your favorite podcast platform. That is Pinhead Pod. All right, and we're back here and listen to their screams. It is review time. It is time to review some more public horror, public domain horror. And yes, it is another take on Steamboat Willie. It is I Heart Willie. I need that shirt. Based on the public domain Disney short, Steamboat Willie, of course, first appearance of Mickey Mouse and Minnie Mouse, written by David Vaughn, directed by Alejandro Allegra, starring Maya Luna, Sergio Rigalto, Daniela Paras, David Vaughn, and more. David Vaughn, he wrote the movie, and he played Willie as well. So the movie was released only for one night in limited theaters on February 26th. So that's already come and gone. Sorry about your luck. And but I do venture to guess it will probably be popping up somewhere digitally soon. And we had this talk briefly, I think, in the last episode about trying to figure out how many of these we've watched, right? We think we've watched, we know we've watched, now this makes at least two, maybe three. I can't remember now where we landed. We do know there's a new one coming out, Screamboat, with David Howard Thornton, which I'm looking forward to. I don't know whether there's others planned. I don't know whether there'll be others or not. I don't know. But I'm pretty sure that counting the one coming up, I would think there's at least four takes on this Steamboat Willie. Three to four. I think there's four, but I could be wrong. I know for a fact we watched Mousetrap and reviewed it. You can see that here. Listen to that review in the archives. We weren't huge fans of Mousetrap. It was kind of blah, if I'm remembering right.
Yeah.
And I will say, though, I much enjoyed this one, much more enjoyed this one, much more than the Mousetrap. This one, we talked about this when we first heard of it. That it was, it's kind of a little bit of a different take. That instead of there is either a killer modeling themselves after Steamboat Willie, or whether they're true, Steamboat Willie is a true thing, whatever it might be. This one went more the route of there was something that was real that inspired Steamboat Willie. And everything else. This, but this one to me, I liked it because this one was not as hokey feeling as the others.
Yeah.
Because you're not, we didn't have a mouse man, although they called him Mouse Boy and it's this and that. That was a nickname that people, but basically it was a disfigured guy, right? Or a guy with some issues, disfigured. Then he had, there was a fire that caused other, anyway, I'm not going to give away spoilers, but he was disfigured. And he made a mask that was a very creepy-looking Mickey Mouse mask to kind of hide his face. And, maybe it was inspired by Mickey Mouse because, something maybe from a, whatever, a better time in his life, right? That was important to him. But then that's he did make some, some Mickey Mouse noises every now and then. Kind of in a creepy way, not too over the top. I think there was only a couple instances of it, but anyway. But that's kind of where the derivative stops, right? Because there's not much else to it that's directly pulling from Disney or Steamboat Willie, right? They implied that this kid was first, and that's where Disney got the inspiration for Mickey Mouse and a anamorphic or whatever they call it, Mouse Man, Mouse Boy character. Even to the point that they knew this kid's name was Willie, and that's why Steamboat Willie was the first. So I kind of like that approach. That's different. It makes sense. And but this was it was a pretty decent little independent slashery type movie for the most part. They did in the description say something about a psychopath leads their friends to. So if you pay attention to that and then start watching, you kind of know what's going to end up happening, where it's going. At least I thought, because reading the description they put out there, you knew there was someone in this group that was a psychopath, and you could put it together pretty quick what was what. But it was still fun to watch it unfold. And again, this movie's not anything groundbreaking, anything genre shattering or trend setting per se. But as far as public domain horror, particularly the Steamboat Willie slew of horror movies, this one stands out within that realm. I think it's pretty damn good as far as a public domain horror. I think they did the right approach. I think it's a good approach. I think they've got a good character that looks good without being, looks believe it within the realm of the world of horror is somewhat believable, and you don't have to stretch the imagination nearly as far as some of these. So, but I enjoyed the movie. Again, as far, especially when you think about it in the vein of public domain, and it's really especially as far as these Steamboat Willie movies go, I liked it. I thought it was pretty fun. Like, what do you think?
I think that the big positive to this movie specifically is that it didn't try and basically it didn't try to rely solely on the fact that, oh, hey, I'm Steamboat Willie. You know what I mean? Like, it didn't rely on that only. And that to me is what really sets this apart from pretty much all the other public domain horror films. There's not a whole lot of them at this juncture, but it definitely sets itself apart. We have some really good ones like the Winnie the Pooh Blood and Honeys. But we also have some stinkers like the Mousetrap or whatever the hell it's called. But I think specifically with this one, like you said, and I this was exactly what I was thinking in my head. This one approaches it as if it is not specifically a Steamboat Willie movie. This is a serial killer movie with the superficial packaging of that what's it called? That public domain horror, right? All this is that this is your typical slasher movie. It meets all the typical slasher tropes, something akin to like a Texas Chainsaw Massacre almost. You know what I mean? A disfigured guy in the backwoods of, in this case, Mexico, is basically killing people dressed like Steamboat Willie. And like you said, it's most likely childhood trauma, things like that have, pushed him to, act this way, to dress this way, things like that. And it's a very unique premise compared to Mousetrap, which was a Steamboat Willie mask that possessed people, or Screamboat, which is just fucking Steamboat Willie,
Very much.
just a mouse in the flesh, well, somewhat the flesh. And it's unique because we haven't really gotten anything like that until now. And I'm really appreciative of the creativity with this, because even if you didn't like this movie, you can at least say without a shadow of a doubt that they tried to make something unique. even if it didn't succeed for some reason, they made the attempt and they made something unique. So that's what I give them the most credit for, because this is by and large the most unique take on a public domain horror, maybe barring Winnie the Pooh Blood and Honey 2. So, and obviously we haven't seen Bambi the Reckoning or Popeye the Slayer Man or Pinocchio Unstrung or any of these other crazy movies that are coming out, but so far I think I would put this probably in, my top three of the the public domain horror films, just because it wasn't, they were not trying too hard, but they gave enough effort to make it creative. Even beyond that, the cinematography was actually pretty decent in this. The setting was pretty stereotypical for a film like this, but the cinematography is pretty good actually, and the acting wasn't terrible. There were a few parts where it got a little hokey with some of the acting, but and I'm not going to ruin the big twist, kind of like you mentioned. But towards the end, there's one of the characters that looks really creepy. Her acting was super good. It's the scene with the cop. I don't know if you know what I'm talking about. She just looks demented. Good news for you guys is that you won't know who I'm talking about unless you watch the movie. But outside of that, decent area they filmed in, pretty not atypical to a movie like this. And also just decent acting. So I got to give it props for it's all of that really, but mostly the creativity. That's what really drew me in towards the end.
To kind of expand on something you kind of said there, this felt like the other movie, especially like Mousetrap. It felt like they said, "Oh, Steamboat Willie is public domain. We've got to make a horror movie about it. So let's do it. Let's make it a horror movie. What can we do?" This one felt more like they said, "Oh, Steamboat Willie is in public domain. You know what would be a cool idea?" It's not like they said, felt like they had to force it. It just felt like a good idea that came from it. That they, you know what I mean? Not that they felt they had to do a Steamboat Willie movie, but more of a, "Oh, that's a possibility. Yeah, I got a pretty good idea for that." And it just, this feels much more like just a natural development than a, "Well, we have to cash in on a public domain." Like I said, I really enjoyed it. Particularly, as a fan of the public domain horror, I thought they did a good job. So let's rate this thing, out of five screams. Again, nothing, super groundbreaking, but just a solid, fun movie. We know that a fun movie for us is middle of the ground three, but I think this one was fun enough that I'm going to do just a tick above, and I think I'm going to give this one a 3.5 out of 5, because I think this was, to me, just a little bit better than just the middle of the ground fun movie. I thought it had a little more to it with the creative idea and everything. So I'm giving it a 3.5 out of 5. Ike, what are you giving it?
I think I would agree. I think 3.5 is the perfect little rating for this, simply because this is not your standard middle of the ground movie. To me, this really went above and beyond a little bit, and I think that this deserves a little bit more of that rating. I don't think it's quite of a 4, because 4 is like one of those like, oh wow, they really went gangbusters and like this is just a completely revolutionary thing, and we're bordering on that. But this one to me is just a perfect 3.5 out of 5. And I will definitely rewatch it.
Me too. All right. So a consensus, 3.5 out of 5 for I Heart Willie. Like we mentioned earlier, next episode we're going to talk about Hogman and review the movie Butcher's Bluff. So I'm kind of looking forward to it. This sounds fun. We'll see what happens with it. Tune in for that next episode. We'd like to say thank you to our wives and all the listeners and followers for all of your support and interactions. Like Ike said earlier, be sure to subscribe to us on social media. We're on pretty much any platform. Just search for Listen to Their Screams or Listen to Screams. That is the number two in the middle there. So before we close and get out of here, we kind of rambled along on this one, Ike. I think because we got off on the scream tangent, and that seems like it's always the one. But before we close, anything else you want to add?
Honestly, the only thing else that I would want to add is just, we talked a lot about it and everything else, but there's going to be a lot of good horror this year, I think. And I think this is a perfect year for us to get those sleeper hits. We don't have a whole lot of blocks off, blockbuster, block box office. I can't speak. Box office hits, you know.
Big movies.
big movies. Big movie. So we don't have any of those really big, you know, budget movies that are going to really just push everything to the wayside. So I think we're going to actually really see some creativity and some original ideas. And I mean, we've had a few pretty decent movies so far this year. So hopefully we'll continue to see those roll through. And by the end of the year, we'll have a very interesting and diverse top five, I think.
Yeah, I think so too. And we always preach it. We always say it. And this is one of the best times, like you said, to really drive home. Don't be afraid. Go out there and dig deeper for your horror, right? Don't just go with what's in the theaters. Don't just go with what the big platforms are releasing and pushing. You know, go out there, get Screambox, get Shudder, you know, go dig through Tubi and all these others. You know, search online because you can find independent releases that are just put up for free on YouTube sometimes. And just really get out there and dig, and don't be afraid to take a chance and give these things a watch. And you'll be surprised and open up a whole new realm. Just remember, all the big franchises, all the big everything else started with a movie that was put out there, and there was a whole world of people that were saying, yeah, right, that's what the hell's that? That's going to be a stupid idea. A guy that fucking haunts your dreams, right? I mean, come on. It all starts somewhere, and there's all the naysayers and stuff, and then you watch it and you're like, well, that worked. You can find that out there all the time in current movies on smaller scale. So don't be afraid to dig deeper below the surface and find some good stuff. We like I said, we like to plug and share the ones that we see, but there's a lot more. I mean, there's, you know, a lot more out there that that we watch that we don't talk about, that we don't even get to watch. We just don't have enough time. There's a lot out there. So I've got a couple movies that are out there that people have contacted us about watching, wanting, you know, feedback from us. And hell, we haven't even gotten to think about watching them just on the side. It's just not been time. But, you know, not that I've forgotten them, not that I won't watch them at some point.
Right.
But, you know, so go dig, find some good stuff. And if you find one of those movies that you don't think the people know enough about that's really good or whatever else, that's a good time to hit us up on social media and let us know, because we'd like to take a look at it and know too, and get the suggestion. So, all right then. Well, we're gonna get out of here on this episode, and next week it'll be Ike, I, and Hogman. Just three jovial chaps just hanging out and doing our thing, you know, whatever. But the promotional graphics are just gonna they produce themselves at this point. I already got the ideas of flowing for what we're going to do with that. But that should be fun. So that's right. Next episode, Butcher's Bluff. So before, let's get out of here. And wherever you go, whatever you do, be good, be safe, and have many pleasant nightmares.